Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys, how's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special solo episode of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one podcast about Joshi Wrestling. I am your host, Kelly, and I will not be joined today by my usual co-host, Taylor, as he is off vacationing in a tropical paradise somewhere. I'll be doing things a little differently than normal. Since solo audio is hard as hell, I'll most likely be recording this episode across the course of several days. The plan is for me to watch something and then jump into the studio and record a quick segment on it. So the first segment today will be focused on the semifinals and finals of the Tokyo Joshi Princess Cup. Today I'll also be covering the five-star Grand Prix, the Marigold Dream Star Grand Prix, and who knows what else I'll watch over the course of these next couple of days. This is the Sunday before we normally record, so I got a whole week to kind of piece this all together. But before I get to any of that, I've got to hit the plugs. Follow us on Twitter at JBombAudio, follow me on Twitter at CometGeekKelly, and follow Taylor at TayMambo. Make sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and a glowing review on your podcast app of choice. And if you feel like giving us a much appreciated donation, you can do that over at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. Okay, let's get into things with the Princess Cup semifinals. I won't be covering full shows here. I probably won't be covering any full shows on this episode, if I'm being honest. It's really hard to have takes on everything. So, you know, I'm just going to talk about what I can talk about. So, we got Tokyo Joshi Pro, the show from August 23rd, Tokyo Princess Cup Night 4. Just going to talk about the semi-main and the main, which are the semifinals of the Tokyo Princess Cup. The first of which, the semi-main event, was Yuki Aino defeating Zara Zocker. Hell yeah, this was a good hoss fight. They both threw bombs at each other, and Zocker even did a cool little flippy-do when she almost hit the 450 splash, which, hey, that's impressive. This tournament definitely got Zocker over with the Tokyo Joshi fans. I was actually pretty surprised to hear people shouting her name when Aino finally put her away. Aino won pretty decisively here, which is kind of shocking to me, with Zocker presumably having a title shot coming up ahead of her. But all around, this is a pretty strong match. I went 3.5 stars. Then in the main event, Ryo Mizunami defeated Yuki Arai. This was a war. Yuki Arai really is at her best when she's forced out of her comfort zone and stops kind of caring about hurting people with her strikes and just starts booting the hell out of people, just kicking them right in the face. Like, she just nailed Mizunami a couple times here. It was awesome. The story of the match was definitely Mizunami just outclassing her less experienced opponent here, but Arai kept fighting through that and got close to beating Aniki a couple times. I like that they're not pushing Arai to the moon here, and with matches like this, we really see her grow as a wrestler, and just, she's got a lot more room to grow. She still has a ton of potential. Mizunami delivers again in Tokyo Joshi as the one true passion injector. 4 stars on that one. And now let's move on to the final night of the Tokyo Princess Cup. That was night 5 on August 25th, which is actually the day I am recording this. I actually watched some of the undercard on this one, because there's some fun stuff. Haru Kazushiro and Mizuki team up to defeat Mei Tsuruga and Uta Takami. And whoever thought to tag these two gremlins together, just absolutely brilliant. So good. Just a super fun tag match that really kind of felt like a Gato Move offer match. Having Mei back already is a really good sign for her being booked more frequently by the company going forward, which makes me really happy to see. So yeah, this was a lot of fun. I went 3.5 stars on it. Then after that was Shoko Nakajima defeating Yoshihiko Hasegawa, who announced that starting in September, she will be a regular on the Tokyo Joshi roster. That's cool. Based on her performance here, she's a welcome addition to the roster. This was a really good, kind of competitive back-and-forth match. Nakajima eventually put her away with the Northern Lights suplex. I liked this one a lot. I went 3.5 stars on it. Now let's go to the main event, the Princess Cup Finals. Ryo Mizunami defeats Yuki Aino in a killer match, which I do want to note, I did call. I said it on the podcast 2 weeks ago, or a week ago for me. It was going to be Mizunami versus Aino in the finals, and Mizunami was going to win, and I was right, so I'm taking my victory lap right now. These two went out and worked so snug, just beating the hell out of each other. Like, you always hear in wrestling how you hit your friends the hardest, and that really showed here. Mizunami in particular just hit some really nasty forearms. I loved how in this match they were kind of just willing each other along and goading each other into hitting each other harder throughout the match. Just a really fun story for these tag partners, where it's just like they wanted the other one to bring out the best. They wanted to just bring out the best in each other, and I really think they did here. Mizunami, really in her spots in the company, has done a lot for Tokyo Joshi, I think. Like, I know I joke about her being the one true passion injector, but I honestly believe that's true. I believe you can say she completely revitalized Yuki Ayano's career. Like, 100%. Ayano was kind of circling the drain, and the tag team with Mizunami totally brought her back into the fold, and just that... We would not have gotten this match without that tag team. So I'm really happy Mizunami got this win here. I think she totally deserves it. And I'm really excited to see her versus Watanabe for the title. That should be awesome. But Yuki Ayano worked her ass off here. And unless I'm forgetting something major, this is her best singles match. Like I loved this match. It's one of my favorites of the year for Tokyo Joshi. So I'm going 4.5 stars on it. Overall, I thought the Tokyo Joshi Cup felt pretty standard. Like, the early rounds were kind of just mostly good. Handful of great matches sprinkled in there. Not many, but, you know, it was a decent enough time. And then a final match that just completely delivered. So, if you just need to watch one match... just watch the finals. You can skip everything else. You'll miss occasional good stuff, but overall, just killer finals, okay tournament. All right, that's all I got for this Tokyo Joshi segment. I'll be back in a sec talking about something else after whatever sound effect transition I choose. So see you in a sec. Okay, and we are back. Well, I am back, not we. As I am recording this, it is Thursday the 29th, and it has been a hell of a week since I last talked to you. Unfortunately, my mom has ended up back in the hospital with an infection, so I have been very stressed, and I haven't had the time to watch as much stuff as I wanted, so some stuff is going to fall by the wayside. Sorry, guys. Thankfully, I was able to carve out some time today to watch the Stardom 5-Star Grand Prix quarterfinals. This was night 11 of the tournament, and it took place on August 28th. Overall, I thought this show ruled. I saw some people complaining about it being in Shinjuku face, but I'll take that any day over all the weird half-empty gymnasiums they run in other cities. Like, the crowd is super hot, and I really love the vibe of the whole show, so, you know, let's just get into it. Opening match was the Red Stars B Block second place decider match. Izumi defeating Mei Sierra and Tomoka Inaba after 4 total falls. To win this match, it was a bunch of singles matches back to back, and you had to pin both of your opponents in back to back matches. I absolutely love the format of this match. It just feels so dramatic every time a wrestler is going for that second fall. Now, I wouldn't like want to see this fully replace the triple threat match, but this is the perfect format for like a tournament match like this or a title match, so I would love to see this used more often. These three wrestlers just packed so much into these 12 minutes. It was nonstop action from start to finish. The final two falls were tremendous. I really loved the brawling sections between Izumi and Inaba, and the closing stretch between Izumi and Mei Sierra was awesome. The attempted destroyer into a pop-up cutter was an insane spot. Just a hell of an opener here. I went 4.25 stars. Easy for me to say. Yeah, killer match. Definitely check this one out. Next was the... Blue Stars, B Block, second place decider match. Hanan defeating Suzu Suzuki. This is a great win for Hanan. The two suplexes that she hit on Suzu to finish the match looked incredible. I'd really love to see this rivalry continue between these two. This match and the opener of the show did a really good job of giving everything a sense of urgency that was necessary, you know, when the winner has another match ahead of them today. So really good stuff. I went 3.5 stars. Then I skipped the tag match. So now we are into the quarterfinals. The Red Stars quarterfinal, Mayu Iwatani defeats Natsupoi. What a clinic this was for getting dropped on your head. Mayu and Poi both looked like they'd been through a war when this was over. Like, I even noticed that Mayu had some blood dripping out of her nose. I wasn't really super into the first half of this. I don't know why, it just wasn't grabbing me, but once they started throwing bombs, I couldn't help but think it was great. 3.75 stars. In a Blue Stars quarterfinal, Saya Kamatani defeats Starlight Kid. This match didn't do a ton to make me think that Saya is getting any better as a heel. It's still just a lot of silly faces, I guess. But I don't know. She's working on it. But thankfully, the outside interference in this match was kept to a minimum, which, thank God. Starlight Kid is a great face in peril, but, you know, when the heel work isn't that compelling, it just isn't that effective. But the back half of the match was pretty strong. Saya kind of stopped entirely with the funny heel faces and just started wrestling a straight-up wrestling match. And I really liked how the match escalated then. It was just, you know, it kept going and going until we got to the big final closing stretch. It was super hot closing stretch. So overall, I think this was a good match with a great back third. 3.5 stars. Now that takes us to the semi-main event. This was another Blue Stars quarterfinal with Hanan defeating Siri. Hanan winning here kind of sold me on her going all the way, because this is like a huge scalp. But Siri definitely made her work for it. This was a super hard-fought win for Hanan. Love to see an upset like this in a spot like this. So I'm hoping she keeps going. 3.75 stars. And then finally, in the main event, we had the second Red Stars quarterfinal with Micah defeating Izumi. I had the realization halfway through this match that despite being 5 years younger than Micah, Izumi has 5 years more experience as a wrestler. It's really crazy to think that she's been wrestling for a decade now. Though, unfortunately for her, all of her veteran tricks couldn't beat Micah's power. I really loved that this wasn't like an epic, usual stardom main event. This was closer to a sprint, clocking in at just over 11 minutes. You know, I mentioned with the first two matches on the show, it had a great sense of urgency to it. This is essentially Izumi's fourth match of the day, so she just wants to get in there and get out of there as quickly as possible. It was just logical, smart pro wrestling. A great main event to close out a great show. 4 stars. Just, yeah, definitely. The whole show's really worth watching. I can't even say anything bad about the tag match. I had it on in the background while I was working on my notes, and I enjoyed what I saw. So, yeah, definitely check this one out.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys. How's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/hailmary. That's HIMS.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. HIMS.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Initially, I was going to follow up this review with a preview of the semifinals and the finals of the five-star, but then I remembered I'll be reviewing that later in the show, so I'm not going to waste our time with that. So, yeah, I'll be back with something else. I'm not sure what I'll get to next. But, yeah, I'll be back after the next sound effect. Bye. Once again, I have returned. I'm recording this on Saturday, August 31st, and today I'll be reviewing Stardom's five-star Grand Prix Finals. Before I get to that, I just want to give a quick mom update. She is still in the hospital, but she's been moved out of the ICU and into a regular room, and so that's great. That's really good. She's not out of the woods yet, but she is definitely getting there. So initially today, I wanted to cover the start of the Marigold Tournament. But then I started thinking that I'd much rather finish off the five-star instead of starting another tournament. Like, let me just finish this one first, and then I'll get to the next one. So let's dive into the five-star Grand Prix Finals. Show started off with a tag match that saw Koguma and Hazuki defeat Aya Sakura and Sayaka Karara. This was then followed up with an announcement for the 14th Goddesses of Stardom Tournament, which will run from October 26th through December 8th. Then in the second match, we have the Red Stars Block Finals, with Micah defeating Mayu Iwatani. This was a pretty wild match. They didn't really leave anything in the tank for later in the night. They fought this match like it was the finals. Mayu controlled a lot of the match, but Micah kept finding ways to cut her off with high-impact power moves. It finally took Micah 3 Michinoku drivers to put Mayu away. This delivered in a big way, and I think is probably the best match of the entire tournament. I went 4.25 stars on it. Next was the Blue Stars Finals, with Saya Kamatani defeating Hanan. I think this was easily the best heel performance from Saya yet. She's still very extra, but she's putting less focus on the funny faces and cheating, and was just wrestling with more of an edge, which is what I really want out of my heels, and what I want the direction of the hate unit to be. My prediction of Hanan going all the way earlier in this show was very wrong, but I do like the story they're telling with her. This was a lot like the match against Sierra earlier in the year, where Hanan went for one finisher too many, and it caught up to her, and she lost the match because of it. Her inexperience continues to cost her in the big spot. Great work from both women here. I went 4 stars. Following the tournament matches, Anna Jay defeated Momo Kogo in a match I didn't watch. Xena defeated Sayada in a fun little slobber knocker that I'd go 3.5 stars on. After the match, Xena makes a challenge to Mae Sierra for the high-speed title. Then Starlight Kid scores the win for Neo Genesis in a 10-person tag against the team of God's Eye and Risa Sarah, who it seemed like she was kind of forced into the match, but, you know, she did well enough. In a prelude to the semi-main event, the Cosmic Angels team defeated Hate in a trios match. Yuna Mizumori picked up the win here by pinning Ruaka, so good for Yuna. Glad to see her get the win. Third from the top, we've got a Future of Stardom title match. Rina defeats Hina. This was fine, I guess, but I was pretty bored by it. They've both been around Stardom for what feels like forever, but I don't think I'll ever care about either of these sisters. To me, this felt like a backyard wrestling match between two siblings that are called Crusher Kid and Night Shadow, but without any of the feeling that you're going to watch a kid die when they get choke slammed onto a pizza oven with light bulbs taped to it. You know, it just, it doesn't have that spark to me. It's missing something. But speaking of boring matches, let's move on to the semi-main event. The World of Stardom title match. Tam Nakano defeats Natsuka Tora to win the title. While I like the result and what it means for the overall health of the company, what an absolute slog this match was. Even the accidental blood at the end couldn't save this from being a 10-mile walk through a quicksand swamp. It was nice to have all the interference kept to, like, the end of the match, but boy, did some of it look really goofy, especially the stuff that was happening right in front of Daichi. I guess I'll take this match as an okay trade to have a 5-star without Tora and a short title reign for her, so, you know, you win some, you lose some. The post-match for this went on forever. I kept waiting for some swerve to happen, like Sayori or Natsupoi was going to attack Tom, but just, it didn't happen. It really felt like they forgot there was still the main event of the show coming. I don't know what to rate this match. I guess two stars? It wasn't offensively bad, but it wasn't good either. And that brings us to the main event, the 5-star finals. Mika defeats Saya Kamitani. I don't know if these two were selling exhaustion from working a match previous in the show, or if they really were tired, but it felt like both wrestlers were working a step or two slower than normal here. It may have been just the summer heat from Japan. Like, Maika was sweating buckets by the end of the match, so they very well could have been actually really tired. Saya definitely regressed from her performance earlier in the show and really ramped up the funny faces and heel shtick. She was screaming like a banshee in that last quarter of that match. I'd curb that if I was her. I wasn't super into this finals, but I do think it picked up in the closing stretch. Kind of a disappointing main event, but like an enjoyable enough match overall. I would go 3.5 stars on it. Ultimately, my big takeaway from the show is that it peaked early with Mika versus Mayu, and it really felt like this was the vanquishing of hate. For seeming like they were going to be on top of the company for a while, they sure got beat bad tonight. They lost the trios match, Tora lost the red belt to Tom, and then Mika got payback against Saya for costing her the title by beating her in the 5-star finals. Rina's the only one that won anything. Momo Watanabe even went to America to take a loss. So, like, I guess this filler arc is over and they're back to being the cartoon bad guys. Time to get back on the Tom road now that the 5-star is over. And with that review being done, I'm going to hit the road, but I'll be back in a sec with coverage of the opening of the Marigold Dream Star Grand Prix. Talk to you in a bit. Okay, here we go. It is Sunday, September 1st, and I am back for the final segment of this show. Today we're looking at the first two shows of Marigold's Dream Star Grand Prix. I wish I could come on here and be all fired up about this, but I'm not. The shows weren't terrible, but it's become very clear that the roster depth just isn't there for a tournament like this. I also think that the tournament started off on the wrong foot by being a single cam, no commentary show. Marigold is always going to get compared to Stardom because of its origins, but they're not doing themselves any favors by rushing into this tournament. To start the Grand Prix on the same day as the 5-star ends is really just opening yourself up to comparisons that do not put you in a kind light. Across these two shows, less than 700 fans were reported. I'm not one to usually care or talk about attendance numbers, but that number looks really bad. Marigold has never looked more like Stardom we have at home than they did here. So, I'm hoping for more out of them with these shows, but as of now, kind of just all right. So let's go through the results. We've got the Marigold Dream Star Grand Prix opening from August 31st. Star League match, Bozilla defeats Kazuna Tanaka. It really felt like this should have been a squash match. In Dream League, Natsumi Shozuki and Victoria Yuzuki go to a time limit draw. Ugh. In the Dream League, Nori defeats Koke Amore in a match that felt kind of awkward, but was still pretty solid. Star League action, Miko Aono defeats Misa Mitsui. This was good. Both women worked hard here, and it felt like there was genuine animosity between the two of them. I went 3.5 stars. In a Dream League match, Mirai defeats Chika Goto. Another good match. Mirai got a pretty good, hard-hitting, intense match out of Goto. In the semi-main event, the Dream League match, Nagisa Nozaki defeats Utami. Strong win for Nozaki that continues to help establish her as like an upper card star in the company by beating Utami here. And in the main event, Star League match, Mai Sakurai defeats Nanae Takahashi in a pretty good brawl. I was shocked to see Sakurai win with a submission. I really do love having a big upset to close out the first show. 3.5 stars on that main event. And now for the night show. The Star League match, Bozilla defeats Misa Matsui. My takeaway from this match is that Bozilla needs to work stiffer. There were a couple times here where it looked like she was actively trying to not hurt Matsui. And, like, you know, I appreciate you want to take care of your opponent. You don't want her to absolutely just wreck her opponents. But I also don't ever want to see a wrestler protecting the person they're supposed to be trying to defeat. It's all about, you know, the suspension of disbelief. So she needs to get a little better with that. Obviously, she's still a rookie, but still. In the Star League, Miko Aono defeats Chiaki. I am very happy to report that Chiaki has gotten better at using a chair. In the Dream League, Mirai and Nori fought to a time-limit draw. This is my favorite match of the tournament yet. Nori is my new favorite in the company because she works in a way that's so different from everyone else. Her kicks look and sound awesome. Nori and Mirai had really great chemistry here. Though there was this point in the second half of the match where things really slowed down, and then it became clear that this was going to be a time limit draw. So that was pretty deflating. Great match, though. 3.75 stars. Then in the Dream League, Utami defeats Chika Goto. Goto took a hell of a beating here, and she had a really rough draw getting Mirai and Utami back-to-back in one day. Like, come on, that sucks. And then finally, in the main event, it was a Dream League match. Natsumi Shozuki defeats Nagisa Nozaki. Another upset to close out the second show. Overall, I would say that the second show is a step up from the first, but neither really did anything to get me excited for the rest of the tournament. Now, who's on top of each block after these first two shows? The Star block has Bozilla and Miku Aono on top, tied at 4 points. And then in the Dream block, we've got a three-way tie at 3 points between Mirai, Nori, and Natsumi Shozuki. So let's jump over to the previews section of the show and look at what's coming up in the next 2 weeks, which, to be honest, is not a whole lot. Marigold has a show on the 8th. We've got some Dream League matches. We've got tournament matches from both leagues. In the Dream League, we've got Utami versus Victoria Yuzuki, Koki Amore versus Natsumi Shozuki, and Chika Goto versus Nori. Then in the Star League, we've got Miku Aono versus Bozilla, Nanae Takahashi versus Misa Matsui, and Sari making her tournament debut against Mai Sakurai. Then Marigold also has a show on the 14th. Dream League matches have Nagisa Nozaki versus Nori and Koki Amore versus Victoria Yuzuki. Then the Star League has Sari versus Chiaki, Nanae Takahashi versus Kazuna Tanaka, and Mai Sakurai versus Bozilla. Tokyo Joshi Pro has a show coming up on the 8th, Always Be a Challenger 24. The big match on that one is the International Princess title match. Yuki Arai defends against Arisu Endo. Then in Stardom, we've got 3 shows coming up. Kurikan Hall show on the 8th, New Blood 14 on the 13th, and Nanba Grand Fight 2024 on the 14th. The only thing I could find announced for any of these shows is that the World of Stardom title match between Tom and Micah is going to be on the 14th. And I don't think that's been officially announced. I think that was just something that people have inferred from promos and stuff. So it'd be nice to have some cards, guys. And that's it. That's all I got. We successfully did a solo show. Now, I suppose this whole show has been Kelly's Corner, but I will leave you with a manga recommendation. Drunen Quarterly has been releasing hardcover collections of Yoshiharu Suge's work, the fourth of which recently came out. Oba Electroplating Factory collects the 1973 to 1974 loosely autobiographical comics of Suge. He was a pioneer in the genre, and the stories are very good. I also like that these books have giant essays about Suge at the back of each volume. So if you're interested in manga history at all, these are definitely worth a pickup. Alright, this has been Jumping Bomb Audio, and we will see you back here in 2 weeks. For Taylor, I'm Kelly. Bye, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Hey, kids, do you like wrestling? Well, we like wrestling, too. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Myself and Chris Novembrino kind of doing a lazy river of wrestling criticism, going through the news and whatever happened in stateside television wrestling. And also, you know what? Sometimes we just like to watch old stuff and talk about that, too. Love for you to give us a listen if you haven't already. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.